thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Sort of tonight, I want to spend about 10 minutes or so, hopefully no longer, looking at this idea with a title and a thought of this. True worship costs you something. True worship costs you something. I'm going to read tonight, if you have a Bible with you, from 2 Samuel 24. I'll let you get there. I'll explain sort of this. We're going to pick up in verse 18. Before this, David does something against the Lord. The Lord kills a lot of people and sort of asks David to sacrifice in a specific way to come back into his good books and his good graces, basically. And we pick up this story with David whenever God says this to him in verse 18. It says this: "On that day, God went to David and said to him, 'Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Aruah.'" Me and Emma tried to figure this out. Aruna? Is that it, Emma? Aruah? Aruah? We'll go for Aruah. So David went up, and as the Lord commanded through God, when Aruna looked and saw the king and his officials coming towards him, he went out and he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Think of this, like the king walking up your house. What would your reaction be? Aruna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant to buy your threshing floor?" David answered, "So I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped." Aruna said to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here is the threshing sledges and the ox yokes for the wood. Your majesty, Aruna gives all this to the king." Aruna also said to him, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king, so David replies, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to my Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing. I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. We'll leave it there. Let me sort of bring this picture of worship that costs you something. Like true worship, authentic worship from your heart has to cost you something. This morning, we looked at this idea really clearly that God wants to be worshipped. It's his heart. It's his desire for his children. This is the response that is required to his presence. Tonight, I'm asking you this question, and I'm asking myself this question. What kind of worship are we bringing him? Like in a real sense, if you search your heart tonight, like what worship are you bringing to God? Is it sacrificial worship? Is it costly worship? Is it selfish worship? Is it half-hearted worship? Is it and it suits me worship? Is it my preference worship? What worship are we bringing to the Lord? And as we've seen, like worship, the presence of God has been made it's been made accessible to us. It's been this most beautiful, creative place that we can step in and we can meet him. But there is a danger that our worship can just continue being stagnant and casual. And that's not what God deserves. God demands from me and from you tonight, whether you follow Jesus for 80 years or whether this is your first night following him, he demands costly worship. David is here building an altar to stop a plague. This man offers him everything. Remember, he's the king. He is more than in his right in this offer to say, "Brilliant, thank you so much. I will take that and I will give it to God. Like, thank you for offering me this for free. This is amazing, brilliant. I can get this and it doesn't really cost me anything. I can do what God wants me to do, yet it doesn't cost me anything." Is that not like a win-win situation? But David refuses and he says, "I will not offer my God, my Lord, a sacrifice that will cost me nothing." And that's, I think, our heart has to be when it comes to worship in spaces like this, where we have the opportunity and the privilege to worship Jesus, that we would stand here and say, I will not come into this space, and I will not be in these spaces where I am free to worship Jesus and worship him in a sacrificial way that costs me nothing. I will not sit and be casual. I will not sit and compromise. I will worship him the way that he deserves. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about the offering. It was about David's heart posture to the Lord. Was he willing to sacrifice something for the Lord to come through? David understood that worship was more about more than feelings. It was about sacrifice. True worship will cost you something. I have three mini points in the next 2 minutes, and then we're going to worship Jesus again. First sort of observation I make from this passage is this. It will cost your pride. It'll cost your pride. If you ever heard my voice when I'm singing, you'd probably want to sit a couple of pews away from me. It's not very good, right? But I will sing. I will, because he's worth it. Like, it costs me, like, people hear my voice, that's no problem, because he's worth my worship. You see, worship will expose you a wee bit, right? It'll expose you, because you're in public. You're visual, and people may look at you, but you need to ask the question, am I willing to set down my pride and worship Jesus, or am I going to let the opinion of man stop me? You see, raising your hands, singing out loud, kneeling, whatever the Lord is asking you to do in worship, you see, these things can be confronted with fear, and it makes us stand still, shriveled up, whisper in worship songs. Yeah, I don't feel like it's what the Lord deserves. See, David dances. We read about it when the return of the Ark of the Covenant. He dances before the Lord, undignified. This king, this guy's dancing before the Lord because there's just something about the presence of God that it gets him excited, that he dances. He doesn't care who sees him. He doesn't care who's around. He just knows, Lord, you are worthy of all of this. He's unashamed. And he wasn't performing for people to think, here, is the pastor looking? Did he seen that? No, he's just doing it because the Lord is worthy of it. You see, worship in song requires us to remove this dignity that thinks I need to hold on to reputation and status. It needs to remove, because then we will never come truly as we are to him. It's not about looking nice. It's about worship. Let me ask this question. It's an interesting one. Are you willing to look foolish for the Lord this evening? Not that you would do something that would be inappropriate, but that you would posture yourself in a way that would say, I actually don't care who sees me. I just care that I come before you, Lord, and I give you what you deserve. See, are we more in love with Jesus, or are we more in love with the opinions that other people have about us? I'm more in love with the reputation that we hold. See, worship is costly, and it will cost you your pride. Second is this, it will cost you your control. Song worship isn't about following a set list or being led by a specific person or a specific band. It's about following the Spirit. The Lord is raising it for worshipers that are in spirit and in truth. And sometimes the Spirit moves in a bit of unexpected ways where we're able to just go, Lord, wherever you're taking me, I'm willing to go. That we don't sort of hold the ropes and say, I have to do this in this set of songs and in this specific way. That we would just say, God, you're good enough that we'll go where you want to. When he asks us to linger, that we linger. When he asks us to sing another song, but it's actually past the one song we normally close with, that we actually sing another song, because we are willing to lose control, because worship should cost us something. See, the story that we looked at this morning as well, not in detail, but of Luke 7, this woman at Bethany, cost her everything. This woman comes in front of the sort of the Pharisees or the religious leaders of the time, Jesus at a table, and she's just before Jesus, crying, wiping his feet with her tears, and there's just this beautiful moment of complete surrender. That she doesn't have control in this moment of how Jesus will respond. She doesn't have control in this moment of how the people around the table are going to respond. She doesn't have control in what's the aftermath going to be. All she has control with is this. Will I sacrifice this or not? Like, am I willing to sacrifice this or not? And tonight I ask you that question. You don't have control of what song we're singing next. You don't have control of what someone's going to think about you when they see you. You don't have control of what's going to happen tomorrow. But you do have control of this, church. That you could sacrifice everything tonight, or you could leave the exact same. We have control of that. See, are you willing to lose control in worship? To lift your voice? To shed tears? To surrender? To allow him to take over? Because if I've experienced the Lord in moments, it's usually in that place where he gets everything of me, is where he meets me in ways that I could never have imagined or dreamed. You see, remember David's sacrifice? It was accepted in this story. Do you know why? Because it cost him something. It's because he wasn't willing to take the freebie and say, get out of jail free card for me, this win-win situation. No, he says, no, I will pay for the floor. I will pay for the burnt offering because I know that the Lord is asking this to cost something of me. And so you may think, oh, it's cool, loads of young people here tonight, they can lift their hands on them. Go ahead, guys. But this should cost us something. It's a personal thing before the Lord. He is demanding you and me that it would cost us something in his presence because worship, true worship, should cost us something. Lastly, this may need to take a wee bit of explaining, but I'll hopefully get there. It will cost your empire. Turn to the person beside you and say, it'll cost your empire. The young ones are louder, just so you're still awake, you know what I mean? It'll cost your empire. Wonder if you have any empires. I normally say, and you've just for a bit of funniness, now you have to try and say it in my accent, and you all hear them saying the Belfast accent. It's funny. There we go. This moment, David is the king. He runs the show, right? He is dictating everything. Yet, he has this empire of his own, and he could have easily taken it. He could have easily taken the freebie. But he has to set aside his own empire. This man was begging him, take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. And he says, no. Like, I have to set aside who I am, all my achievements, all my accolades that say I deserve to take this freebie. I have to set it all aside for him. Because worshiping Jesus, when we come into his presence, you may carry wisdom in. You may be the most clever person in this room. You may be way smarter than me. You may be so wise. You may have the greatest gifting. Yet true worship costs you your empire. The thing that you feel like you're too big to lay down, the thing that you think you deserve something in this space, all of that has to crumble in his presence. Because this is why. See, when I can fixate my eyes on Jesus, the Lamb of God who died for my sins, when I can fixate my eyes on him, every accolade, every dream, every achievement, everything I've ever done in my life must crumble. There's nothing that will compare, ever. There's nothing that I've ever done. There's nothing that I will ever do. When I fixate my eyes on him and I see the sacrifice that he made for me, there's nothing that will ever compare. And so my empire, the thing that I think I am, that is costing me to go all in for worship, it has to crumble. You see, we worship a crucified king. He is the object of our praise, and he is the person our empires must be crushed for. We aren't great. We aren't clever. We aren't impressive. Actually, we're not very good. But he is so, so good. And so sung worship must be a sound of surrender. This moment of saying, Lord, I'm allowing this to cost me everything so that I could worship you acceptably. I wonder if the worship team would join me. See, Jesus Christ gave you everything, and now we must respond. Guys, we can stand as well. Sure, we're nearly there. The cross was not cheap. We're going to hear about that in a second. Jesus paid the highest price. But we have this great and awesome and honor of a privilege to respond tonight. Not casually, not half-heartedly, but with deep and costly worship. I wonder if you would close your eyes. Not because I'm going to come and scare you. Not because something spooky is going to happen. It's just helpful to focus. What are you bringing in worship? What have you brought over the years to him? Have you brought him everything? Has it cost you things? Or has it been convenient? See, the call of worship isn't perfection, but it is to give him everything. What's the cost of your worship going to be tonight as we go into a space of worship? Will you give him more than you ever have before? Will you sing to a place that stretches the boundaries of pride in your life? Will you offer a sacrifice that maybe looks foolish to the Lord, yet it's what he deserves? Because we're not singing about just what he's done for us, But we're singing about who he is. And he is consistent. He is the same. He is perfect. So will you offer a sacrifice tonight? Not just the song, but would it cost you something tonight? Would you raise your voice, even if it's like mine? Would you step forward? Would you lift your hands? Would you kneel? Would you sing loud? Would you weep? Would you look like whatever it takes to give him an offering that costs you something? Because church, this is the reality. He is worthy of it. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care where I've been or what I've done, but I know this. He is worthy of it. And so allow this to cost you something tonight as we enter his presence.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.